Today, we're going to pick back up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. I will tell you right now, we will not get past verse 4. And then next week, we will not get past verse 5. And so, or that's like all we're going to get to is one verse. And I know sometimes people will go, Pastor, why do you spend so much time on one verse? I will tell you this, when it is this rich, you just park for a little while. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this passage here is incredibly rich, because this passage here is the beginning for 1 Peter, for Peter's writing this down, where he starts telling us who Jesus really is. In the beginning of the book, chapter 1, coming into 2, we see that we're born again, we're children of God, we have these privileges, it's good, right, with salvation. But here's where we learn who Jesus really is. And it would be shameful on my part to blast past this. Because if we don't get anything ever, we need to get this today. Okay? Because I think that this is the most... I get done with this passage as I'm studying it out. And the more I study it out, you know how you start reading and you just kind of lay back in your reading? Then all of a sudden you're like this. That was me as I continue to research and study out this verse, because it is loaded. There's so many verses that I want to read to you guys, and I may read a lot of them. I told Sal, don't even worry about keeping up, because I'm going to like take all this information and just pour it in your lap. That when you leave here, you see Jesus in all his glory, and you understand just a piece of the privilege that we have to be a child of God. Just a piece. I am so dedicated this year to teaching the scriptures, guys, because there's got to be understanding now. The days for concerts and flashy lights and sweet poems are gone. I mean, not that I ever did that. I'm just saying, like, we don't have time for this anymore. You know, it's getting crunch time. There's so many students that were last week or 2 weeks ago, they were in crunch time to get their finals done. Amen. How many know of one that was doing that or did that? Right? It's just like, oh, I got to get in there. And you put it off. And now you can't sleep until you get it done and understand, so you get a good grade, so you can pass, so that you actually move on with the next step of your life, continue to pay for the last 4 years of your life, right? Today, I'm going, we need to be rooted in the Word of God and the understanding of Jesus. Because our world is crumbling on every level. And we're so caught up in it that we fail to take Jesus with us. Because the truth is, so many people don't want to take Jesus where they're going. They just want to leave him in church where he belongs. Right? Guys, today I hope you get, and I hope I'm able to do this, that you get a beautiful picture of Jesus as the living stone, and the understanding of exactly what that means for us and to us. Amen? All right. So, and by the way, I'm so thankful that you came today, knowing that the sun is shining and it's so beautiful outside, and I'm just so thankful that you give God some time today. Amen. And you know, for many, this is all the time he gets all week from you. And so I am appreciative, as I'm sure he is. All right. So 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, golly, First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Here we go. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now, 5, down all the way down to 8, has everything to do with us, but I cannot exceed past verse 4. And next week, so I'm going to look at Jesus as a living stone, and then next week I'm going to look at us, right, as the beneficiary of living stones. Verse 5, as you also as living stones are being built up, and a spiritual house, right? As we look through this, guys, and please make sure that you pay attention, write notes, because I am going to tell you, I won't do this justice, but man, this is gold. This is absolute gold. So we see coming to him as to a living stone. Literally, it is coming to Christ that we enter into the realm of being able to go to God, being able to hear God, being able to speak to God, being able to fellowship with God, being a part of God's house on a level that so many people miss. It is not until you come to Christ and understand he's the living stone that you can even remotely get close to God. Period. You can't. People that are religious and they're like, oh yeah, I'm religious. You know, I love God. Yeah, but do you love Jesus? See, if you don't love Jesus, you don't love God. If you don't love the Son, you don't love the Father. That's according to Scriptures. Amen? And so many people are attached to God, but they're detached from Jesus. And here in 5, what we see is coming to a living stone. That word coming holds incredible detail that we don't get in the English language. In the Greek, it literally is... See, we're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm coming to church, right? It's just, yeah, I'll be there, no problem. In the Greek, using this word, it literally means that not only are you showing up, but it is the attitude in which you show up. How many have ever seen people, they come over, or you guys go out to dinner, and it's so obvious they don't want to be there? Anybody say, right? Now, you might sit through that. I don't. I am so far past accepting sinful behavior that I, you know, that's pushed on me. And now I'll just tell, look, if you don't want to be here, go home or leave. Spare me, right? Amen? How many want to say that but don't? I want to encourage you. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that. It's okay to go, man, I'm not going to deal with your attitude. Leave. I want to eat. If I eat by myself, at least I'm happy, right? I'm just saying. So literally here, this coming to Jesus in verse 4 is talked about coming to him with the right attitude. Not just showing up, but showing up with an intent of getting closer to him. Showing up with intention to be intimate with him. So when we talk about showing up, listen, you are anticipating that moment. How many of you remember your first date with your love, and you're like, oh, I get to go out with him, or I get to go out with her, and you're like, oh, all right, and is my hair okay? Okay, wasn't really my issue, but is my okay? Gotta go, right? Gotta get again. And then you're like, oh, right, you're ready. It's like almost like Christmas Day. It's just this anticipation. How many remember that? That's the Greek word here for coming to Jesus. You're just about ready to write home about it. Right? This is what we're talking about. And so when we show up with that kind of intention, no, I'm not turning the air on. I'm just moving air. Okay, here we go. So here, coming to him, right? So Jesus, literally, he calls us too. I just want you to know, because sometimes we get lost because we don't understand who Jesus is. And I want you to see that Jesus himself calls us to to abandon the turmoil of life and sin and all that seems to plague us, right? And that troubles our soul. In Matthew 11, 28 through 29, I want you to see that now as Jesus is calling us to come to him, and it says here, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many need rest today? Right. And I'm not talking sleep rest. I'm talking like you're ready for your soul just to calm down and take where you find that peace, right, that passes all understanding. This is the rest that he's talking about. He is talking about giving you something you can't obtain nowhere else. And then verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's like, listen, you take my yoke, you learn from me, you grow, you get intimate with me. And I will take you places that you only dreamed about going. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, there's that word rest again, for your soul. See, this isn't about the body. Oh, we can take a nap. Somebody like nap? I'm all about them, right? Look, we can take naps. We can do a whole lot of things. But what Jesus is talking about, nobody and nothing else can give you. And yet, it's what we're all searching for, but what we're willing to relinquish first. Because we don't want to spend time with Jesus. Or we want time with Jesus on our level and on our terms and not his. But he says, look, come to me. I'm going to give you everything you're desiring. Are you stressed out? You feel like you've gone crazy. Can you not detach anymore? What is going on? I get it. You are insane because the world is pushing you there. And he says, I'll relieve them. I'll be honest with you. I love old farmers, especially in the South. Now, when I was young, I honestly wanted to go. I was out of my mind dealing with them, right? I'm like, hurry up, let's go. You didn't dare say that because it'd be disrespectful. But old farmers, they're used to waiting on crops to sprout. They're used to, you know what? I got to work. I'm in this all day. I'm in the heat all day. So let's just set a pace where we can get it all done. Whereas me, I'm like, right? I got most of it done. That old farmer that was just so consistent, and he just like this. And if you hear him talk, he'll tell you, son, you just need to slow down. You're pushing life harder than you can run. Take a break. Here's some water. And it ain't ice water. It's room temperature, so you don't pass out when you drink it in the hot sun. And you gotta think I'm kidding you, but that's not, and I worked with a guy, he was so deep woods. And if you've never heard of North Carolinian deep woods lingo, you have no clue. Because they get talking like you know what they all be saying. You're clueless, right? But they're the happiest people ever. So they don't get caught up in the pressure of the world. I'm telling you, Jesus says, you want the crazy to go away? Sit with me a while. Sit with me a while. I will give you rest, not for the old weary bone, but for the soul. For the very core of who you are. I will give you rest. And I don't know about you, but today, boy, we could use rest. Amen. And so in John 6:35, he told us, in John 6:35, he said, listen, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, you go, listen, it's not that you're not going to drink and eat while you're here on earth, because you remember, you got to feed the flesh. Its nutrients so that it stays healthy. But what's he talking about? Listen, he is talking about a spiritual level and a calmness that you can only obtain through him. And so this coming to him or going to Jesus that Peter's talking about is this. Look, Jesus even says, if you come to me, I will satisfy the very core of your desire. Because hunger and thirst, if it all comes right down to it, that's what we want to take care of the most, right? That's like the essentials of the very basic essence of life. And he says, I'll take care of everything. But we have to go to him. And we have to go to him with an idea of being very intentional to be intimate with him. Today, relationships are so surface. Like paint on a car. And a little nick in the relationship scars it and you can never get rid of it. And it's just a nick, whereas before relationships could take a lot of pressure. Today you vote for the wrong person and that relationship's over. You say the wrong thing and that relationship's over. You send a text and they read it out of context, the relationship's over. Today, relationships, they hold on by a thread. And Jesus says, here, listen, if you come to me and you come to me looking for that intimacy, man, I will take care of your deepest needs. It's amazing. In John 6:37, it says this, and that the Father gives me, this is Jesus, will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Do you realize that if you come to Jesus, because so many people are like, oh, I'm not good enough. You're right. Nobody's good enough. That's why Jesus died. And he says, listen, if you come to me, I won't cast you out. I just want you to come to me with the desire to have this special relationship with me that you can't get anywhere else. I want you to see here in 44, verse 44, John 6, 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here's another promise. Now, who does the Father draw to Jesus? Well, the Bible says that he would have none to perish. So I have to believe at some point in time, God the Father has tried to draw everyone to him. Even Judas, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, knowing that Judas did not want an intimate relationship with Jesus, he only wanted the money that came along with being associated with Jesus. Amen, right? How many times have you known someone, they want the relationship only for what they can get, not what they can give? That was Judas. And even with that, Jesus said, Judas, friend. He calls him friend. Friend. That word literally was to remind him of who he's been with for the last 3 years. Do what you're going to do. And Judas still betrayed him. Why? Because it was surface relationship. Judas was in it for what he could get, not what he could give. I'm telling you, when we go to Jesus, he says, you come to me, man, and I will raise you up in the last day. How many here understand you will not live for eternity in this body? How many understand that? The last day is the last day you draw your breath. Or the rapture. And seeing how here, the last day, the D is not capitalized on that, it literally means the last day of your life on earth. And he says here, I will raise you up. You will be with me when you draw your last breath. What a promise, right? But listen, we got to go to him with the idea of love and intimacy with him. John 7:37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone, now listen guys, because to understand that Jesus, or Peter's talking about for those of us that come to Christ, right? The coming to him, that intimate desire to seek his face or to come and sit with him for a while. And then here in John, Jesus says, if anyone desires this life that I'm talking about, this blessing that only comes from me and nobody else, you can't get it anywhere else. It is not on any shelf in any store, and it doesn't grow in anybody's backyard or the foothills or the mountains. It is only through Christ. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and be satisfied. I know it says and drink, but I want you to clearly understand that to drink is to be satisfied. Come to me. And it's the same idea of come to me with a desire to stay. This is how much God wants us, how much Jesus desires us. And then in 38, he who believes in me, how are we to believe, Jesus? As the scriptures say. See, so many people are like, oh, I believe in Jesus, but that's on my terms. No. Doesn't work that way. I believe in God. Listen, you got your belief, I got my belief. No. I mean, that's true, but it doesn't work that way. How are we to believe in Jesus? This verse sets the standard of how we are to come to Christ. And it is as the scriptures say. Not as Pastor John says, if it violates this. Not as you say, if it violates this. Not as a television evangelist says, if it violates this. See, there are guidelines and everything that we are to follow and to understand how we are to come to Christ. The Bible says that we have to believe in him, right? For whosoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And then he says, you have to believe. This is it. And if you believe anything contrary to this, I know this is tough to hear, but you're wrong. And then people go, well, I think this verse says, if it doesn't say what the author intended, you're still wrong. See, guys, it is as the scripture has said. We can't add to it. We can't take it away. It is what it is, whether we like it or we don't like it. And then he says, out of his heart, who's his? Not Jesus. Who is his? Ours, right? He who believes in Jesus, as the scriptures say, out of that person's heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, what's the difference? Man, it's fresh, it's alive, it's desirable, right? Listen, how many of you have been to a pond, or you might even have one in your own backyard, where just mosquitoes and stagnation live? You know what I'm talking about? And then you go to the Adirondack, and you see waterfalls, and you see beautiful, look at Lake George. Go up and you just see beautiful lake. That's living water, right? That's the idea that there's nothing there dying. Everything has life and it's beautiful. That's literally what he's talking about for us. But we have to come to Jesus on his standard. His standard is this, plus nothing, minus nothing. So many people want to like, well, I think, I don't care what you think if it's contrary to this. Well, I feel like, look, feelings come and go. Felt like I didn't want to hear you're crazy when I showed up, and now I feel like I'm convinced I didn't want to hear you're crazy when I showed up. Right? Feelings come and go. Paul affirms to the Ephesians that it's in Christ alone where we find all of our blessings, our spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How? In Christ. You take Christ away, you got nothing from God. You take Christ out of the picture, you are left empty and devoid of any life, except for what you might get right here. It's in Christ. And so when we come to Him, first off, we have to believe. And guys, it's got to be real. Do you want to be intimate with Jesus, like have that real personal loving relationship that with Jesus that just brings life? If you don't desire that, then you really need to find out if you're born again, if you're saved. Like, you really need to figure that one out, because otherwise, if it's contrary to the scriptures, it does not count when it comes to God and spiritual blessing. If you were to read in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 1:4-14. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Love. Listen, guys, that love isn't like, oh, I love peanut butter, or oh, I love the sun to shine. This is like, oh my goodness, I love you with such a deep desire. See, we keep everything paint surface deep when it comes to God, usually. And God wants, that's the last thing that He wants. Look at, keep rolling in 5. Having predestined us to adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now listen, real quick, that word predestined doesn't mean that God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. That's not what that means. That word predestined literally means that God chose the whole of all of humanity to go to heaven, but all of humanity will not choose Him. Amen? Do we get it? And so that's what that word literally means. He predestined, He chose before time to choose all of humanity to have the option to show up in heaven. Predestined. For God so loved the world, all of the people, right? That He would have none to perish, whosoever would call upon Him. See, that's the difference. So don't get lost here. Some people think, oh, well, God picked who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, and so I don't have an option. I'm just going to ride it out. No. Not true. And if you ride on that, you're going to miss heaven. Just throwing it out there. 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us acceptable in the beloved. Jesus makes us acceptable to the Father. 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look at all that God is giving us. And these are the promises, right, that Paul tells the church of Ephesus, that it's in Christ alone where we get all of this. It's all according to Him and His desire and His riches and His forgiveness of sins. And we're the beneficiaries of this. The spiritual privilege that no one else has except for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look in verse 8. Which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Go on. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. God says, listen, I'm going to give you everything according to what I desire and what I want, but oh my goodness, are you going to benefit? You're going to benefit. 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. Guys, anybody that is in Christ, you came to Christ with this desire to have an intimate relationship with Him because you understand that He is the only way to heaven, then listen, when it happens, He's going to gather us all up to be with Him. If you have rejected Him, you don't get gathered up to go to heaven. You get gathered up and sent to hell. God doesn't mix words here. Jesus doesn't mix words. And that coming to Him or coming to Christ is all wrapped up in the fact that you're coming with a desire to have an intimate relationship with Him, not just paint surface, oh, it looks pretty and I can claim it wonderful. But the minute there's any scratch, then all of a sudden, oh, world's over. I know so many people are like, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, amen. I love Jesus. And then tragedy strikes their world. God could have stopped that. God, I'm done with church. I'm done with God. I'm done. What happened to, I love Jesus? What happened to all that? See, it's paint surface. That's all it is, man. It is so thin that some of you are literally only hanging on to God because you were brought up or told it was the right thing to do, not because you're hanging on to God because you love Jesus intimately. And I just want you to know that's a no-win situation for you. Just for clarity. All right, let's move on. 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Listen, we've been predestined by God, for God, to God. And we're going to throw some AC on. How many say amen? All right. Don't talk to me like that. I didn't ask for a boo. I asked for an amen. Listen, listen. You got the blessings of a husband wrap his arms around you and keep you warm, huh? Put him under his lap. All right, here we go. Verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And that word trusted literally means all in, without hesitation, without doubt, without reservation, that you are in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. People should be able to see that you're glorifying God. They should be able to look at your life and go, wow, they're sold out. I can tell you this. You can look at a couple that loves one another and you can go, wow, they love one another. Amen? Right? You can see it. And then you can look at a couple and go, whoo, they're tolerating one another. I mean, you can see it. Like, this is as clear as day. Amen? Or you listen to one speak and you're like, that relationship is in trouble. How do you know? Listen to the way they're talking about their spouse. It's ugly. Amen? I'm going to tell you, though, when you're sold out to Jesus, your love shines like the sun shines outside. It'd be unmistakable. 13. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. This is going to be a part 4, 5, and 6. I see it happening. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, here's another promise, a spiritual privilege that only comes if you believe in Jesus Christ, and nothing else will give you this. Nothing, right? You guys go, Pastor, you're redundant. I know, 7 times before we get it. Remember that rule. That you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Of promise, God that cannot lie, until the day, go to 14, please. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit seals us, keeps us, holds us, protects us, preserves us, until Jesus shows up in the clouds. And we hear the trumpet. Look, I'm not a big trumpet guy, but boy, am I looking here forward to hearing that sound. To the praise of his glory. A spiritual privilege is the fact that we are sealed, preserved, for God. Guys, that's crazy when you think about it. Amen? To think that God loves us so much, he establishes all of it, but all he asks is for us to come to him with the intention of staying with him. That's all he asks. And so many people are like, we're Judases, man. We just want what the accolades that come with being with him. And so when we look at the word coming. It literally means to draw close. There's an intensity there denoting a drawing near to Christ in intimate, abiding, personal fellowship. Guys, here's a real question for you. Do you have that with Christ? Like, is that how you come to Christ? Is that how you open your Bible? With anticipation to learn something new so you can learn your Savior better and more intimate and desire and get excited to spend time with Him like you would your first date for your first love. Do you do that? Do you open the Scriptures? There's a bigger question for some. Or do you just go through life going, yeah, I'm a saved person, I'm a child of God, amen and amen. And yet, there's no intimacy, no desire, no draw. It's just, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm saved. Okay. Then we move on with love. Like we don't know any better. Salvation only comes according to what the Scriptures say. You can't leave this out. You can't. I promise you, if you shelf this, you will leave God. If you haven't already left Him, but you just keep the facade going. We like the social aspect of church and the family atmosphere of church, and we love being loved, and so I'll go and be a part of that, but I don't want a part of this. And that's some people. I was out on the motorcycle the other day, and I passed a sign that said, church is now open, come join us this Sunday. I went, now? It should never have been closed. It should never have been stopped. Man, our love for God is not dependent on anything. On anything. How many remember me hearing me talk about Polycarp? The martyr Polycarp is his name. He loved God. And I'm going to tell you how much he loved God. He's in his home. The soldiers are coming. They're going to arrest him. They're going to kill him. They've already prepared the mound of wood. They've got a stake up in the center of this mound of wood. They're going to tie him to the stake. This is an old man. They're going to tie him to the stake. And they're going to burn him alive. For one reason. He loves Jesus. So the soldiers get there to arrest him. There's about, I think they said it was either four or six. Forgive me, I can't remember the exact number. But it was about six. They show up to his house. He already knew they were coming. And he says, listen, I'll go with you freely and willingly if I can just have one request. And the soldiers stand back and they go, what is your request? And he said, that I can make you dinner before we go. They were set back by it for a second, but they agreed. So Polycarp goes into the kitchen, the soldiers sit at the table, and he starts preparing them a meal. As he's preparing them the meal, guess what he's doing? He's sharing the gospel. He's telling these soldiers who are clueless about what God wants, clueless about God, clueless about Jesus Christ, clueless about salvation. He is sharing with them the love of God, preparing them a meal. It takes roughly 2 hours to get this meal prepared, served, and eaten. At the end of the 2 hours, because as they were eating, he was sharing Jesus and cleaning the kitchen. He didn't want to leave a mess for anyone. At the end of the 2 hours, he says, I am ready. By this time, the soldiers have heard about Jesus. They've seen his love. They understand the whole gospel story of Jesus Christ dying, and he's the only way to heaven, and without him they have no hope. And now they don't want to arrest him. Most of them had gotten saved, and then the others were just compassionate toward him. They say as Polycarp is walking to this mound of wood with a stake that he's going to be tied to, that his complexion never changed. He never lost color, and he didn't miss a step. And he looked just as peaceful and as calm as anyone could ever. You would never have dreamed that he literally was willingly walking to his death. He walks up on there. They're going to tie him there. And he goes, there's no need. They light the wood on fire. And he wouldn't burn. He wouldn't burn. And you go, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God who says, I'll deliver you. Nothing's impossible with God who says, I am with you and I am there and I am for you. And when you are intimate with me, I will be intimate with you. Nothing's impossible with God. And Polycarp stands there and the fire is raging. And he won't burn. They're in awe, right? This doesn't even make sense. How is it possible to set a man on fire and he won't burn? And they go over to him and they get close as they can and they plunge a sword into his side. And the blood starts gushing out and it says that it put the fire out. And he dies standing there, not because of what they intended to do, which is burn him. He actually dies from the sword that plunged into his side. And standing there the whole time, his nothing changed. There was no fear that came over him. It was complete calmness. You could literally see he was walking with God. Because when he came to Jesus, with the commitment to never leave. He came to Jesus with the desire to sit next to him intimately. There was no surface paint relationship. This was intimate and it was infinite. And until we grab that, and until we understand that, you're not going to have rest for your soul. You'll never get to where Polycarp was. Because the only way to get to that kind of love is to invest yourself in Jesus with that kind of determination and love. See, coming to Jesus, guys, and we do it so often, and I know I'm guilty of it here too, but I don't really know of any other way to do it. And I try to make it so clear, right? But so often we're like, oh, just pray this prayer. And I make it clear, guys, the words aren't magical. It's just, listen, either you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Savior of the world, or you don't. The words that I say, if you just pray these words, or a roadmap and a timestamp where you can go, this day I, on purpose, with all of my heart, committed myself to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because he has committed to me to be my Lord and Savior, and there's no other way to heaven, and I believe that because the scriptures say it and no other reason. See, people want to be moved emotionally today. They want to be stirred. And the Bible just simply says, believe. Believe and you'll be saved. It doesn't say God will rock your world, turn you upside down, spin you around, you get all dizzy, see lights and stars, and you know you've been saved. It simply says you believe and Jesus will save you. Now, do you believe that? And if you believe that, you're saved. And if you don't believe it, you were never saved. See, this coming to Jesus, guys, is a coming with the intention and the idea that you're never leaving. You are intentional. You desire this relationship. You work on this relationship. And you preserve this relationship. And you say, well, I can't preserve it. Only God preserves it. No, God preserves your life to the end, but you can preserve the relationship. What do you desire? These people who are like, oh, I want out of my marriage. I want a divorce. I want this. I want that. Well, why? And then this is the reason. Oh, and this is you. Sorry. We fell out of love. What do you mean you fell out of love? Yeah, it's just not there anymore. Because you're not working on it. You think your marriage is going to be magical and require no effort? It's the most amazing thing when you buy a car and you drive it for a little while and then it starts getting all trashy. How many trash up their cars on the inside? You just throw everything to the back seat and you clean it out about once every 2 years, right? I'm horrible. Listen, so in my truck, and it drives, like if you're going to ride with me and there's more than two people riding, we need to make a spot in the back seat. Because you're not going to fit. And usually what we end up taking out of the back of my truck is garbage bags full of empty water bottles. Because I drink them, and then I'm like, drinking up, drink, shoop. Well, I don't ride back there, so who cares if I can't fit back? And then we don't wash it or whatever, and so we're like, I need a new truck. Anybody else? There, you're like, I need a new pump. This one's old, and it's such a mess. Look at it. And my pastor in North Carolina, of course, he's passed now, he would say this. You don't need a new car. You just need to clean the one you got, and it'd be like a new car. And it's amazing how many people, when they take their car and they have it in and detailed, and they get it back, all of a sudden you're in love with your car again. You're like, oh, it's so beautiful. Or you get rid of it, and someone else knows how to clean it. And then you see it, and you're like, oh, that was a great car. I wish I wouldn't have got rid of it. It is so, look at it, it's so beautiful. And all it took was a cleaning, amen? It took some investment. For some of you, your bedroom might be that. Just saying. You have to invest. You have to put into it. It is a constant job. Remember the word coming. The Christ, that word coming is an intentional action to be a committed act. It doesn't go away and it doesn't change. And then we have to ask ourselves, which I was supposed to get to, but I'm not going to get to it today. We're going to have 18 parts of this. I can see it happening. I wrote this down. It says, for Peter, when he puts the word coming into that phrase coming to him, the word implied the movement of the entire inner person into the experience of intimate and ongoing communion with Jesus Christ. Well, why do we want to do that? Why do we want to go to Christ? Well, because he's the living stone. He's the foundation. He's the beginning of all of it. Without him, you have nothing. Try to build a house without a cornerstone and see what happens. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, the living stone. We might be 18 weeks in one verse. Aren't you glad you didn't come for First Peter? Guys, I want to encourage you to understand when Peter says, coming to him, that's what that word literally coming means. It is so intentional. It is so on purpose. It is with a desire to be intimate with him. And not just for a day or a week or a month, but a lifetime. And if you're struggling with your relationship with God, let me help you through all the verses that I shared. None of that is God's fault. It is because you and I walk away from God that we struggle. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My desire is that you come and you walk next to me. Even in the Old Testament, God says, listen, if you allow me, I'll even be like a mother to you. God wants to satisfy every desire of our life in every way possible. And the only one that stops him from succeeding is us. God, not today. Not today. How many of you, you've been drawn to read your Bible and you know it's like it won't go away. It won't go away. And you're like, oh, I ain't got time to read that today. I'll get back. I'll do it later. How many have done that? How many of you've been drawn to pray for someone? You know it's the Holy Spirit. You know God's trying to draw you into him. And you're like, oh, I ain't got time. Lord, please bless them, heal them, do whatever you got to do. Amen. Thank you. And you move on. How many have done that? Yeah. How many would be so frustrated if people treated you like that? We desire real relationship. God desires a real relationship. A permanent real relationship. Whoever comes to me, I'll know why I've cast them. Here's the question. Have you come to Jesus Christ with the intent to stay? Or you just moved emotionally because, hey, it's a good idea. The preacher was good. He was charismatic and he just kind of drew me in. That's typically what nobody says of me, but you get the idea, right? How did you come to Christ? Your terms or his? That's the real question. Your reasons or his? Your desires are his. Like, these are real questions, guys. If you're ever going to walk that intimate with Jesus, that you have to answer. And then here's the idea. Is your plan to visit or stay? Because so many, nowadays, they just visit. And then when the relationship gets like the old car, we trade it in for something different. Your walk with Christ is completely dependent upon you, just like mine and everyone else. Are you here to visit or are you here to stay? If the relationship paints surface and no deeper, these are all questions we have to answer if we're going to walk in Christ the way he's called us to walk in him. Guys, I know you got 100 more verses back there, but today I'm done. I'm calling you. Check yourself today. How did you come to Christ? What was your desire? What was your intent? And where are you at today? God says, I didn't move. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't move. Where are you? Where are you? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. Is this relationship all about you? Or is it all about him? Is it what you can get or what you can give to him? Is it about how people see you so you have to carry on this facade? Or is it because you want him to see you because you're that in your best, because you're that appreciative for what he's done. Only you can answer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm here for me. I'm in this relationship for me. I want what I want. Pray for me that I go to Jesus with a desire to be intimate and to have this relationship that I'm committed to and I won't leave. If that's you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Amen. Hands up all over. Father, we come before you right now. Father, there are some who just got lost in the idea of religion, or they came to you, but it's still on their terms. And so, Father, I pray that you would move people to understand that you only respond to your terms. Father, you work according to your terms. But, Father, your desire is to do amazing things in our lives and to have this amazing relationship, but it's contingent on us. Father, move each and every one of us to draw in closer to you with a desire to be intimate and loving and not move. Father, to be committed to this lifelong relationship that would just grow deeper and deeper and shine your glory everywhere we go. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm in this relationship for me, and this is not intimate. This is not, I'm Judas. I'm just here for whatever I can get, but I've never surrendered to Christ. Now, I understand that's a tough one. And only you know. I guess the question is, are you going to be honest with yourself and God today, or are you going to continue walking the walk that you've been walking? If that's you, where you say, Pastor, man, I'm in this relationship for the wrong reasons, for all I can get. I'm like Judas. If that's you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. I'm like Judas. I'm here for every reason other than my love for Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to surrender my life to Him. And I want to start this relationship of coming to the Lord with that intimate desire to grow closer and closer. If that's